Namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo. Hi. Thank you, good friends, for being here. Thank you for your practice. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Today we're going to finish, not this, but we're going to finish the, or complete the Comportments and Peaceful Practices chapter 14 of the Lotus Sutra, which marks the middle point. There's been a really strong shift in the last few chapters, right? Really from the 10th chapter to now on the focus. We are really in the teaching of the Lotus Dharma Sutra right now, right? These have been explicit instructions on our behavior, our attitude and intent as bodhisattvas. And I still read to this day accounts of the Lotus Sutra as being without a point or self-congratulatory, all this. I don't know what these academicians think they're reading, but they obviously don't understand Buddhism at all. However, they are the ones doing the translations. So once again, I'm confronted with the biases of cultures and, you know, so on and so forth. But hopefully, especially with this series, as this is my own translation or transposition, if you will, of this great teaching. But that's not to say the others didn't have this. It's just that this is, I've gone ahead and put my annotations and thoughts in print within the scope of the Lotus Sutra, adding Nichiren's doctrine or perspective or insights and infusing it for us, because we should be able to read this document as it is meant. That's what we're doing, right? About the meaning. So when it comes to meaning, can I share a little personal anecdote with you? Sometimes you guys really like that. Sometimes I think it maybe annoys you. I'll keep it brief, though. I remember early in my practice, first couple of years, 3 years maybe, I was practicing with a lay organization who shall remain nameless. And I had the opportunity, as I often had, actually, in within different sect, to seek the advice, guidance of an abbot, or what you guys might hear in the West as a senior priest, but really the head monk of an actual temple. In fact, this temple in particular was the first Nichiren Shoshu temple built outside of Japan back in the 1960s, early 1960s. And I went to this head monk, this abbot, because I was struggling with the organization outside of the temple. And there were conflicts. There were conflicts in the, there was a strict hierarchy. There was a way things had to be. It reminded me of like those people who decide, I think I want to play tennis. But before they step a foot on the court, they got to have the right shoes. They got to go spend $1 million on the right togs, the right sweat expulsion sweaters, and the special, all the clothes of, like, they're professional tennis players, and the racket. It's just, I can't, yeah, that's a nice racket, but I want the $4,000 racket that's strung to a particular weight that I think, you know, 80 pounds will work for me. Holy crap, you haven't even held a tennis ball in your hand, but you got to have $10,000 worth of equipment just to step on the court, because it's all about how I look playing tennis. Otherwise, I'm not really a tennis player. And just the organization seemed like that to me. And so many times I'm confronted with this. And I'm reminded of that same analogy or same mental imagery when I'm asked about, you know, what can I chant for? Or, you know, well, I even had a teenager once ask me, was a youth member in my group of this organization. Is my friends and I, when we do gongyo or when we chant together, when we're done, we drink the water offering from the thing, so we can imbue ourselves with Nitran. Don't start adding your own. Oh, my goodness. Why don't you add Kool-Aid in the water? Because, you know, maybe Nitran had a sweet tooth. What are you doing? Oh, my God. Now, you may think I'm ridiculing people, but I'm really talking about myself. Because I talked to this abbot, get back on track, Sylvain. I talked to this abbot, described these weird little power dynamics, and what would be the best way for me to move forward and help people aspire to the one goal? Because they just seem to be going which and every, and I can get strict and parental with them, but is that the best way? Is there a particular Gosho that I haven't read? Because at that time, I mean, there's a lot of Gosho, right? Hadn't read them all. Could he advise me on a possible path of research so that I could educate myself? Is there a way? I am in no way exaggerating when I tell you his single, solitary response. And I do mean single. You know, he wasn't very well spoken in English. But what he managed to do was look at me sincerely with a wonderful kind of kind grin, right? Oh, get a lot of that from the Japanese, right? Oh. And he said, everything, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Yeah. What? He was looking at me like I just got a spoonful of the best vanilla ice cream with a butterscotch topping on it. And, open wide. Here comes spoonful of ice cream. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. And he had to see the disappointment in my eyes. So I was ready to hear anything. Like, you stand on the head, read Lotus upside down for 3 months. I'm telling you, I wanted to get something just from hearing his voice. And the senior leader who took the time to take me there to get this advice, who... brilliant man. Love him to death. What did you think? He asked me on the way home. I was like, I don't know what to think. I feel a disappointment. I feel like I already knew this. I feel, I don't know, a little confused and a little let down. And he was like, yeah. Well, when we get to my place, we'll chant about it. Or we'll chant together. That's what he really meant. And I'm sharing this with you because it took me several years before I finally realized what happened. And it was very simple. My programming in society, in the culture I was raised, in the religions I was raised around, even with all my research and readings and so forth, and especially the organization I was tied to at the time, was hyper-materialistic. I didn't think of it that way then. It was just the way things were done. And again, I'm reminded of that tennis analogy. We're programmed to think that if we don't have all the right stuff, Mind you, I have gone into the woods with a new practitioner who just received their first mandala and put up their mandala on a tree trunk and knelt in the grass and had their opening of the eyes ceremony right there in the woods just to get them to connect with their mandala. They didn't even have a butsudan. After their connection, we had to roll up that mandala. It pained me, but this was a tough one. He lived with a bunch of people, a bunch of Asian immigrants. But we had to connect him to his mandala. You don't have to have all the stuff, the best stuff. That's not what makes you Buddhist. And even if that's not the conversation you're having, it's how you're behaving. And it took me years to realize that I wanted this advice to lead me down a path of self-education on how to handle the freaking organization. That's not where Buddhism is. I didn't think that way when I was there. I thought, give me a guide in Buddhism to help me get my mind around how to do this. I really sincerely was trying to practice correctly. But underneath that, there was a mythology that was driving the epistemology. That was saying, if you could just help me get all these ducks in a row, everything would work. I didn't realize it then. It took me years to realize that. So if I sometimes seem repetitive or strict, okay, go ahead. But we have one singular goal. And I just published a book. It's from the Taisho, but it's a brief book. It's only like 22 pages, a 6x9 book. And it's a Chinese translation of Kumarajiva, our old buddy who we work with his translation of the Lotus Sutra. Yeah? And it's of purportedly the last words of Shakyamuni before he entered Parinirvana. And they're just an exhortation to the monks then and those hoping to achieve the Bodhisattva way, how to proceed without his embodiment of the Tathagata on this Saha world, yeah? And so it's just a set of bullet points and an explanation. And because it was written in, it's part of the Tripitaka, the Pali canon, of course, the cultural biases in it are very much of the Hinayana nature, but it's still used in the Mahayana school. It just has developed further. It's about the vows that we take and how to look at these different behaviors, how to avoid arrogance, how to avoid so on and so forth, right? And I thought, well, it has value. It's a little book, but it has value as just kind of a checklist. Where are you in this, yeah? And so I published it just a day or so ago. And you can get a link to the ebook on threefoldlotus.com, right? On the ebooks page. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there because I thought it might be interesting and share a little bit of my own history with you, only to demonstrate that we are so constantly influenced by our Saha world and our samsaric mind, which more and more over the evolution of man have become, the Saha world has become for us a reflection of our samsaric mind. We own almost every nook and cranny of it, right? Which is to say that we're incredibly materialistic, even without our consciousness of it. So, you know, don't beat yourself up too much. It'll come with the territory. But like this abbot said, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, open your Buddha eye. Everything becomes greatly simplified. All anxiety vanishes. All those things you're worried about, right? This is Shakyamuni's own words. We live with worry, anxiety, stress. This is the way not to do that. And the very first thing we do, the second thing we do, the third thing we do is worry and have anxiety and stress about how do I do it? Just do it. I say this now, but I say this to myself all the time. So don't feel like you're being singled out, okay? All right, let's finish this chapter. Manjushri, exclamation point. This law flower Dharma Sutra is the foremost teaching of the Tathagata and the most profound of all discourses. I give it to you last of all, just as that powerful king at last gives the brilliant jewel he has guarded for long. Manjushri. This law flower Dharma is the mysterious treasury of the Buddha Tathagata, which is supreme above all sutras. For long has it been guarded and not prematurely declared. Today, for the first time, I proclaim it to all of you. Myoho Renge Kyo. I just hear my anecdote running through my head with every sentence. Manjushri, at that time, the world-honored one, desiring to proclaim this teaching over again, spoke thus in verse. Ever acting patiently, pitying all beings, having great compassion for all beings. They use pity all the time, but it's in the West that has another kind of condescending meaning to it, and I don't like it, so maybe I should change that as well. I'm going to circle that. This is really talking about compassion, yeah? Put a handy little sticker flag on that. Such a one can proclaim the sutra the Buddha extols. In the last ages to come, they who keep this sutra, whether laymen or monks, or not yet bodhisattvas, must have hearts of compassion. There it is. For those who do not hear nor accept this sutra suffer great loss. I, attaining the Buddha way, by tactful methods, teach this sutra to them that they may abide in it. What does he mean? They may abide in it. Dedicate your heart, mind to Buddha-ness. Not doing it right, with the right stuff, with the right blah. You're looking for words. How do I this? How do I? Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. That's it. There's no magic here. Just awaken Buddha. Awaken Buddha. You're stuck in traffic. What the hell is Namo Myoho Renge Kyo? Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I got a delicious opportunity sitting here in traffic to awaken Buddha. Awaken Buddha. It's so simple, we constantly miss it. It is like a powerful wheel-rolling king who to his war-distinguished soldiers presents many awards, elephants, horses, carriages, litters, personal ornaments, as well as fields and houses, villages and cities, fiefdoms, yeah? Or bestows garments, various kinds of jewels, slaves, wealth, bestowing all with joy. Material, material, material. But only for one heroic and of rare exploits does the king take from his head the crown jewel to give him. Thus it is also with the Tathagata. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. He is the king of the law, possessed of great powers of patience and the treasury of wisdom. He, with great benevolence, transforms the world with his law. Thank you, Abbott. You were right. I just wasn't capable at the time of hearing it. Ah, that hurts to say, but... Seeing all human beings suffering from pains and distresses, seeking for deliverance, fighting against the Maras, he, to all these living beings, has taught various laws, and in great tactfulness has taught these numerous sutras. Finally, knowing the creatures have attained their developed powers, at last he, to them, teaches this law flower, as the king took from his head the jewel and gave it. This sutra is preeminent among all the sutras. I have always guarded and not prematurely revealed it. Now indeed is the time to teach it to all of you. After my extinction, whoever seeks the Buddha way and desires imperturbable to proclaim this sutra, should relate himself to the four rules such as these. Those four rules, H. Kern's translation of the late 1800s, says the qualities are such as follows. In Chinese, the four rules are generally interpreted as an aforementioned four methods relating to deed, word, thought, and vow. Nanjio's and Oka's translations agree with the Chinese interpretation, right? We hear this all the time. Deed, word, thought. But not often do we hear vow. And that's actually, that fourth one, very, very important. We're reminded of that in the book I just published. So it has great value. He who reads this sutra will be ever free from worry, and free from pain and dis-ease. His countenance will be fresh and white. He will not be born poor, humble, or ugly. All creatures will delight to see him as a longed-for sage. Youthful students will be his servants. Swords and staves will not be laid on him. Poison cannot harm him. If anyone curses him, that man's mouth will be closed. Fearlessly he will roam like a lion king. The radiance of his wisdom will shine like the sun. If he should dream, he will see only the wonderful, seeing the Tathagata seated on lion thrones, teaching the law to hosts of surrounding bhikshus, seeing also dragon spear. Ooh, that took me back to a vision when I was, I think, maybe 7 years old. I don't know, I might share that one with you someday. Seeing also dragon spirits, asuras, and others, in numbers as the sands of the Ganges, who revere him with folded hands, and he sees himself teaching the law to them. He will also see the Buddhas, with the sign of the golden body, emitting boundless light, illuminating all beings, and with a Brahma voice, expounding the laws. Sorry. While the Buddha to the four groups is teaching the supreme law, he will find himself in the midst, extolling the Buddha with folded hands. He will hear the law with joy, pay homage to him, attain the dharanis, expedient words and phrases, and prove the truth of never retreating. The Buddha, knowing his mind, has entered deep into the Buddha way, will then predict that he will accomplish supreme perfect enlightenment. Now, I hope you understand, the Buddha, knowing his mind, is your Buddha mind seeing the nature of mind. It's not some little fat guy hovering next to you going, I see your mind. Buddhism is about the mind, attitude and intent. This is a story of how the mind works and how to get it right. The Buddha, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, knowing his mind, his because he's adopted the male, right? But this is you too, ladies. Knowing her mind, has entered deep into the Buddha way. What has entered deep into the Buddha way? By seeing through your Buddha eye your own mind. That is the Buddha way. Will then predict that he will accomplish supreme perfect enlightenment, saying, you, my good son, my good daughter, you're talking to yourself now, shall in the age to come obtain infinite wisdom, the great way of the Buddha. A domain splendidly pure, of extent incomparable, and with its four hosts, with folded hands, hearing the law. She will also find herself in mountain groves, exercising herself in the good law, proving reality, and deep in meditation, seeing the universal Tathagata. Golden colored are those Buddhas, adorned with 100 fortunate signs. He who hears and teaches to others ever has good dreams like these. Dreams, right? Not a separate Buddha looking at your mind. This is your own mind at work. And a dream is the thing that we're doing all the time, our inner thoughts. Awake, asleep, halfway in between. Don't think of this as REM sleep. That's not what he's talking about. He's just talking about the mind's workings. Yeah? Yes, I'm crazy. Again, he will dream he is a king who forsakes his palace and kinsfolk and exquisite pleasures of the senses to go to the wisdom throne. Do you get that this is how your mind changes and your perception of life in the Saha world is completely transformed? You're no longer materialistic, right? He will dream he's a king who forsakes his palace and kinsfolk. He doesn't forsake them to go to be killed. He forsakes them as an attachment, as a must-have. The right tennis racket, it matters not. He who hears and teaches to others ever has good dreams like these. He goes on, and exquisite pleasures of the senses, the skandhas again, pleasing the skandhas. Ooh, I love stuff that stuff that makes my eyes tingle, makes my tongue tingle, make my ears tingle, make my flesh goosebumps. Ooh, I want them. Put that away. To go to the wisdom throne. What is the wisdom throne? The attainment platform. However many Johannas you want to put your butt in the sky, whatever it takes, it's Buddha. It's Buddha-ness. That is so far beyond any of the earthly samsaric material togs you can own, wear, use. That's just not it. Once you perceive the Buddha way, all of that stuff just takes its proper place. Have it, have not, doesn't matter. You might show up on the tennis court with nothing but a glove on your hand so you don't get blisters from slapping the ball. Still playing tennis. You may laugh, but I'm serious. At the foot of a Bodhi tree, he sits on the lion's throne. In other words, as Shakyamuni often said, I want all of those in my environs, all living beings, to achieve the same enlightenment that I did. No difference. Open your Buddha mind. Now, he still hasn't gotten to the chapter where he says, by the way, I'm not Buddha. Buddha is Tathagata. It's the fundamental process of all phenomena. You just happen to be sentient. Haven't gotten to that part yet. After seeking the way for 7 days, he attains the wisdom of Buddhas. Having attained the supreme way, he arises and rolling the law wheel to the four hosts teaches the law for thousands of myriads of kotas of kalpas. This resonates for a very long time. After teaching the faultless, wonderful law and saving innumerable creatures, he shall then enter nirvana as a lamp is extinct when its smoke ends. That's your purpose in life. If anyone in the deluded and malicious ages to come teaches this preeminent law, he will obtain the great merit of such rewards as the above. And that's it. I have an annotation at the end of this chapter. I don't even remember what it says. Lots of rules of comportment for lotus bodhisattvas. Reminiscent of the Noble Eightfold Path, although more detailed to reinforce the lotus practice, it is also interesting that many of these stories include autobiographic accounts of Shakyamuni's path to enlightenment, don't you think? These four categories of behaviors all are representation of responsibility we maintain in our associations with others as we course within the societies we find ourselves in. This is the mindfulness of the lotus bodhisattva, both as vulnerable to myriad sources of influences and diversion, and as remaining steadfast in every moment to our aim of enlightenment and its representative. Again, another chapter of direct instruction on how to achieve this lotus bodhisattva path, way. Chapter 15, springing up from beneath the earth. Ooh, things get heavy here. All right. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Not too long today. The next chapter is pretty heavy with visualizations, but incredibly meaningful visualizations. It's really about you and I. About you and me, sorry. I keep doing that. So I hope, that you share these chapters, get together with friends, other Buddhists, people that you chant with, a video party. Just get together, chant, do gangyo, and then let my video be a guest speaker in your home. And then you guys can discuss it together, see what you think. Maybe come up with some interesting comments as a group. You know, you as the house leader leading gangyo, sharing with your friends and others. You might hear some things you hadn't thought of, and, you know, let me know what those things are. I so appreciate your support. Like and subscribe, of course. The link's in the description. I should just make a tag trailer for that. Tired of talking about it. But it is so essential to growing the Sangha. I encourage you to do this in your own home, even if it's with one other person. It is the work of Bodhisattva. So is liking and subscribing, or purchasing books from the bookstore, or mandala, or use all the free resources, not just these videos. Maybe podcasts are things that are useful to you. So that each of these is turned into a podcast immediately. So that's all available at the Buddhahood Podcast. Lots of free information you can download on threefoldlotus.com, right, on the core materials page, study materials. Use it for your own study and use it for your get-togethers with others to discuss subjects that come up. And I think, for me, being a word fetishist, get a copy of Buddhism Reference. The second one is both volumes, so just get that one. And that way, whenever a question comes up, what does that word mean? What does he mean by that? You can look it up real quick and have a definition. And that may be a meaning in itself, right? Just discussing the meaning of the words. There's a lot. Every word in these sutra reflect right back on the meaning of the teaching of Myoho Renge Kyo, right? Like Nichiren says, all 69,384 characters in the Lotus Sutra are Myoho Renge Kyo, and vice versa. Each character of the Daimoku contains within it all of the 69,384 characters of the Lotus Sutra. All right, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much again. Take care of your health. Please do that, as I try to as well. And I will see you in the next one. Promise. Bye for now.